Father in heaven, I thank you again this morning for the service, and thank you for the song service. And we look to you now and ask that you give us wisdom and power, Lord. Dear Father, I pray that you'd help me get across today the message you laid on my heart for the last number of weeks and format to complete the day. And I want to say I'm sorry I hadn't cried as much as I should over this message today. When I see what my Savior did 2,000 years ago in a body of flesh, I pray you to control every circumstance here. Make us mindful, Lord, this is not a plaything we're here in church. It's a meaningful thing for God's people to come together. Sit around the Word of God and ask the Holy Spirit of God to help us understand the mind of God and what's going on in these days when so many people clothed in religion talk about God and talk about Jesus, and yet many even deny Him. And yet, Father, to see what He's done for us, please, Holy Spirit, if you've ever exalted the Lord Jesus Christ, please do it today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to John chapter 11 if you'd like. Read one verse, but then be turning to Luke chapter 19. In John chapter 11, we have the shortest verse in the Scriptures about Jesus Christ standing outside of a loved one who had died. He knew he had the power to do what he was fixing to do. And yet at the same time, as he stood there seeing the broken heart of the people around Lazarus and him being going through the exodus of death, seeing the family, seeing friends. And the Bible says, "Sit with me, Jesus wept." Said again, Jesus wept. Now, ladies and gentlemen, when we see this, it goes to show that even though Jesus Christ, when he was, who was Emmanuel, God in the flesh, clothed in a flesh body, though he knew that he was going to raise up Lazarus from the dead, he was moved with compassion and wept. I don't think it was a real, like some of the people doing around at this time, because this word means simply that he was weeping, maybe silently, showing grief over the fact that death had invaded someone that he loved, though he knew he had the power to raise him from the dead. But I want you to look with me in Luke chapter 19 and down about verse 41. And you'll see where Jesus has been going into the city of Jerusalem. And that's what I was trying to get to start with, the triumphal entry here. And as he came in, they began to say to him, "Blessed is the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven," and he said, "in glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, "Master, rebuke thy disciples." In verse 40, he said, "In the answer and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." And in verse 41, he says, "And when he was come near, that is near to the city of Jerusalem, he beheld the city, and he wept over it." He wept over it. The first we see Jesus standing at the tomb, and he's weeping silently, maybe grieved, brokenhearted, and in a sense showing his compassion for people. But now we see that this wept, he was sobbing, wailing out loud as he approached the city, riding upon a donkey, presenting himself as King of Kings in the eyes of the people, and yet he saw the condition of Jerusalem, and he wept out loud, wailing in his heart, brokenhearted, because he realized that they were not going to accept him as King of the Jews, and he would have to fulfill his mission on this earth and go to Calvary and die and suffer for you and I. Then I want you to turn with me to the book of Hebrews, if you will, and look with me in chapter 5. And in Hebrews chapter 5, if you look about verse 7, you see here now we see the Lord Jesus Christ has been set forth that he's after the order of the Melchizedek. And he said, "Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." In verse 7, he said, "Who in the days of his flesh," that is the days of Jesus Christ walking in flesh here, "when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying," and no doubt the climax of this was when you see in the book of Luke when he cried and he wept, and the scripture says, "in such agony of prayer to God the Father," that he says that his sweat as great drops of blood. So we know Christ was in agony as he cried out to God. And he even made the statement, if it be thy precious will, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless thy will be done. Here again, Jesus wept. But here in verse 7 of Hebrews, it said, in that time when he wept there, he said, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him, that is God, who was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he was a son, yet learned he obedience by things which he suffered. And the word fear here means reverential trust. He, that is one who reverentially trusts God but yet hates evil. And is set forth. Now if you look back in verse 14, you'll see he said, sin then he, of chapter 4, he said, sin then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, which is our confession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, and we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. But notice verse 15 of chapter 4, he said, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. So I would expect to see Jesus weeping over a loved one who had gone on through the exodus of death, even though he knew he was going to raise him from the dead. I would expect to see Jesus weeping over a city which he's fixing to present himself to. Seemingly everybody's going to accept him. But instead of him going in with joy, he weeps as he looks at the city, because he knows in just a little while that precious city where God had put his name with David would soon be destroyed, and was destroyed by the Roman soldiers later in 70 AD in Titus. So here he knows those people who he's come to die for will not accept him. It looked like they were going to accept him to start with, but the religious leaders of the day turned the tide, and we see him actually crucifying Jesus Christ on Calvary. So I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, he wept. You know why he wept, folks? He cares for humanity. You know why he wept? Because he knew the destiny of human beings. You know why he gave the church the mission to reach the lost in his absence? Because we should care also, because he cares. The world sees God's heart through the heart of the church who tries to reach those who do not know Christ as Savior. So here we see Jesus weeping. Now, when I come down to look at this, words have different degrees of meaning. And often the words with a lighter, easier, less severe meaning is used, but it's still in the same general idea. So when you talk about Jesus weeping in some place and not as great as others, in another place he weeps with sorrowful heart, but wails like a type of weeping, and then you see he's crying, which gives a greater emphasis of his heart. We know this, Jesus wept a lot in this world when he was here. By the way, listen to me, folks, who we're talking about. We're not talking about an average man coming from Adam who's lost in sin. We're not talking about somebody who just came along upon the history to make some kind of name for himself. We're talking about the very Son of God. We're talking about God Emmanuel, who is God with us. We're talking about someone who could have sent us all to hell and been justified doing it. We're talking about someone who loved us enough to let the portals of glory where angels worship him and bow down, and some had time for us to understand day and night, forever and ever. That's all their job was to do. He left that place and came beyond the bounds of where the spiritual world into the physical world, took on a cloth, a body through Mary's womb, and in turn went to Calvary and died that we might have life, and yet man still rejects him as their Savior. I'm talking about something I hope that we don't never lose. Ladies and gentlemen, when I think about this, the scripture tells us that Jesus wept often. And when he shed tears, we identify with the word wept as meaning tearful. Sometimes when he was at weeping at Lazarus' tomb, it might mean a very silent wept, kind of like a drama of some kind, that his heart was broke. The word cries used, it reveals more tense feeling. Use the word cry where the word wept is used when Jesus can cause us also ought to be able to see more clearly just how much Jesus cared for and continue to care for souls. And I want you to know 2,000 years have elapsed since Jesus died, and he wept in that particular day 2,000 years ago, but he still cares for souls. But you know, the amazing thing about it is I don't understand why he chose the church to work through to reach people in this society. I don't know why he took 2,000 years ago, the church still be the instrument in his hand, but he's using us today. And it amazes me he can get done what he's getting done in our day, because how many people you see who name the name of Christ really concerned about other people being saved? Folks, we lost something at the time. I remember years ago when people cried over souls. I remember when we started years ago that the altar sometimes would be full of people weeping over souls. I remember one time years ago we prayed all night long for this town and had somebody on the prayer list. Someone mentioned to me just the other night where we had people to come and stay back and had someone on the prayer altar all night long just because God had given us a burden for souls. Jesus reminds us. He loves this world. And he reminds us. He cried over the death of his friend Lazarus. He cried over the city of Jerusalem. He had preached for 3.5 years and taught and healed and did miracles in healing the blind, the deaf, and crippled, and even raising some from the dead. Crowds followed him, ladies and gentlemen. Many of them exalted him, but they just did not and would not accept him as being God's son. Some did, but most didn't. When Jesus cried at this time, he shows us something that is still in his heart today. I would wonder if Jesus cried here in a body of flesh. By the way, he's still in a body of flesh in heaven. Do you know that? We just don't have a spirit there, even though the Holy Spirit is powerful. We have the man, Christ Jesus, Paul told Timothy. And I wonder today if his heart sometimes is not broken. I want you to notice, first of all, 3 points quickly of the message, Jesus wept. And you see, first of all, he's setting forth Jesus, God's Son, wept over a lost, condemned world. Now think about it, folks, with me. Think for a minute. Don't let your mind wander. I want you to think for a moment about this man, Jesus Christ. Remember whose heart was broken and cried and shedded tears. It wasn't, again, may I say, just though he was a man, he was the man, Christ Jesus. He was the only begotten Son of God. Folks, he didn't have to come, but he did. And yet but we'd have never been saved if he had not come. Let us not forget where God has brought us from. I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen, the author of the Bible. I'm talking about the builder of heaven. I'm talking about the founder of the church. I'm talking about the hope of the resurrection, the source of all blessing, the advocate of sinners, the Alpha and Omega. I'm talking about the Ancient of Days, the Anointed One, the Balm of Gilead. I'm talking about the Bread of Life, the Bright Morning Star. I'm talking about the Cornerstone. I'm talking about the Commander of God's Armies, the Counselor, the Guide, the Fountain of Life, the Hiding Place, the Highest Priest, the Emmanuel, God with us. Folks, I'm talking about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm telling you, I'm talking about the conqueror of sin. I'm talking about the slain lamb, our Passover lamb. I'm talking about today the atonement for sin, the Lion of Judah, the man of sorrow, the conqueror of sin. I'm talking about the mediator between God and man, the messenger man, the Messiah to the Jews, the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Life, the Redeemer, the Rock of Ages, the Rose of Sharon, the Scepter of Israel, the Great Shepherd, the God's only begotten Son who loves mankind. I'm not talking about ordinary man. God, it broke my heart studying this lesson up. Because I see him weeping. I mean weeping. Sobbing. Weeping. Not over himself. He's not weeping because he's going to feel the pain of the crown of thorns. He's not weeping because he's going to feel the pain of the nails. He's not weeping because he's going to feel the sword in his side. He's weeping because he's going to die, and many still, most will die and go to hell. He's weeping because he knows there's life beyond this. He's weeping because he sees beyond the tomb. He sees beyond this life. Into the life that he came from. This is not just feeling of sadness or a tear of a drama, but actually crying. This is the Son of God who looks over the great city of Jerusalem and he cries. Why? Because it's lost and the world around it is lost. Here's the mighty of the mighty. Here's the crying over man's sin. Here's the one sees the doom and the destiny of these people who don't even care. Here's the Son of God who held the universe in his hand, who controls all things. Now he's clothed in a body of flesh, been living 33.5 years and gone to Calvary in just a few hours. And he's sitting in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's weeping because what he's going to do most will not accept. People laugh at it and mock it in our day as much so as any other day. Here's the Son of God. He came to save. He didn't come to conquer. He came to die. not to call down the wrath of heaven. He could, by the way. Why he sees in us, I don't know. Can you say the same? Look in the mirror. You and I have been saved. Since we've been saved, what does God see in us is love that he cares so much about? Because we're in his image. He still loves us no matter where we're at. He still loves us no matter what happens. He loves us in spite of what we do. He still loves us. And I see again, Jesus, God, Son, wept over this world. Why did he weep then? Second thing, why did Jesus cry? Jesus didn't cry for his own self. He didn't cry for his own situation. I said just a few minutes ago, he knew the crown of thorns were coming. He knew that the nails would be driven in his hands. He knew the sword would be put into his side. He knew that he'd be placed in a tomb. But he also knew the tomb couldn't hold him. He also knew that he would come forth with resurrection of life in Satan's face and destroy him one day at his own game that he's trying to play. He knew. He didn't cry over life of seemingly defeated because the world rejected him. That's not it. He didn't cry over the city of buildings that he knew was going to be destroyed in 70 AD. He didn't cry over the fact that of his own reputation being ruined. No. He didn't cry because of the coming distractions and the sense of destruction of the nation of Israel, though that must have touched his heart. He was crying because those people in that city were going to soon realize that they did something, but they would not accept the fact that he was God in the flesh, that he could pay the sin debt. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me, there's millions on this earth today will laugh at the fact that such a man as Jesus Christ could pay the sin debt by dying and shedding blood. Right in God's face. We've got so smart, we've removed him out of the equation of our day. I want you to know, Jesus was crying because the spiritual attitude of those people, the spiritual condition of mankind, he cried because of their sin. He cried because of their unbelief in him. He cried because they're dead in trespasses and sin. He cried because he knew the wrath of God was one day going to engulf them because it was already upon them. Because what he said in John 3, verse 36, and for every unsaved person that's alive today, ladies and gentlemen, God's wrath is upon them too until the Lord Jesus Christ removes it from them. I'm telling you something you don't hear much about Bible preaching. Talk about Jesus Christ who can give us all things, and he can. But I want you to know, though he could give us everything that's needed in this world and make us all multimillionaires, the most important thing of all that he cares is about our souls. He looks beyond the tomb. He looks beyond the grave. He looks beyond the judgment seat, the great white throne judgment, and know that those who go into existence, what he called the place of departed spirits called Sheol, in which we put the term hell in the Old Testament and Hades in the New Testament, he looks beyond that and sees that there's going to be a lake of fire in spite of the mockery that people say in our particular day. He looks beyond and find out that they didn't have the love of God in their heart. It's too late. Because they were a people with no hope and without God and didn't realize it. According to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12, they have no hope. This human race don't without Jesus Christ. And yet there's men today, even our own nation has a right. We have freedom of religion, so we trust Christ. And I thank God that we have that. But in that, believe anything. And you know what Satan will do in the ranks of life? More than likely, as time goes on, it's proven through history. If he gets a toehold, he'll inch you, take a mile, and try to remove Christ off the scene and move anything else on the scene other than Christ. God help us to see. He cried because he saw where mankind was headed. He cried because I said against it, he saw beyond the tomb and saw beyond the grave. He was thinking of where people who were without God would spend eternity. Think about it. Every unsaved person here on this earth, as well then as well as now, is going to what he said is in hell. Luke 16 tells us about two people who died. One went to hell, one went to Abraham's bosom. And he tells us about that. He even tells us that one day hell will be put into the lake of fire for those who are in there. There's no way to get out of there. His heart breaks over the fact that the facts are true and God has given the facts and preserved the facts for us in his holy word. And yet people pick good things out and refuse to think that God, who is a God of love, would ever send someone to the lake of fire. Folks, listen to me. God is a God of love. And I point you to Calvary and prove to you that he is. God, help us to see, Lord. God, how could you cry and we not be touched with your crying? This thought ought to cause every Christian to cry with Jesus and try to do something. Say, God, here am I, help me. I guarantee you, ladies and gentlemen, if you were standing outside of a two-story house on fire and you said, heard someone, it was in the house on fire and could not get out, it would break your heart. I remember hearing a story back years ago when I was a young teenager that over in Kinley, some of you remember that. I remember hearing that there was a person who was in a car and a gas truck somehow and it collided in Kinley close by there. He got hung up underneath it and the car caught fire and the gas truck caught fire and he couldn't get to him. And I remember hearing and telling that some people standing there wanted to help and could not. And the fellow in the car got in the back seat because he couldn't get out the way the thing was. And he was crying, please help me, please help me. Everybody, they said everybody around there was crying because no one could do nothing to help him. And yet on the other hand, we think of eternity. You won't shed one tear because a person goes to hell. Forever. That was a temporary thing there. Eventually, he didn't feel anything as far as that was concerned unless he didn't know Christ as Savior. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying if Jesus showed us how his heart was broken and he gave to the church the message of the cross. By the way, he gave us the message of the cross, folks. If we're a Bible-believing church, he gave us the message of the cross. And God teaches us, Jesus, these are the reasons why he cried, and Jesus cares, and he still does care today. But somehow or another, he said for us to use us for the world to feel the heartbeat of the Lord as we go and begin to talk to people about what he said. While Jesus was here on this earth, he showed how much he cared for people. He healed and he taught and he loved and even raised the dead. There was no question as to whether Jesus cared or not cared when he was here. I don't think anyone here, if you read anything about his life in the New Testament, no, he cared. He cared. All the time that he was here. When you see that, you understand. Today, Jesus still shows us how much he cares for all people. He cares enough that he says in Matthew 10:30 that he even knows the number of our hairs on our head. Boy, that's mighty detail, isn't it? So I can't believe that. Well, I believe it because he said he did it. He knows it. I don't care. Hey, you say, he don't know I lost some this month. He knows exactly how many you lost. Why? Go read it. Matthew 10:30. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows every detail of your life. He is very interested in our tears, our illness, our injuries, our worries, our sadness, our heartaches, our joy, our innermost thoughts. He has given us the Bible, the precious Word of God, which reveals his promises, his assurances to us, his encouragement to us, his warning to us. He has preserved us and provided for us and protected for us every believer, every day of their life, whatever comes our way. He gives us Romans 8:28. All things work together for good of them who love God and called according to his purpose. He didn't say all things would be good, but he said everything we face. And boy, I'll tell you what, my family's faced a lot in the last 8 months, but everything we face, he said, son, it's going to work to your good for the end. That's how much he cares. If you're in a valley this morning, what's happened to you is just temporary. All things work together for good of them who love God and are called according to his purpose. And that's not just to be used just as a slang. It's to be used because it's the Word of God. And I'm telling you, it amazes me. He's given us the Bible. He's preserved and provides and protects every believer, every day of our life. We may go through a lot of things as a child of God. But if I can't get an answer any other way until God can give me an answer, Romans 8:28 is my answer. That's a promise of God. I don't care where you're at. Someone listens to my radio. Some people have been worse than any of us in here. And yet God has still gave them an answer until he can give them an answer. Today, the church, Jesus' bride, is to take up where he left off when he ascended back to heaven. In Acts 1:9, as you see him giving instruction and goes back to heaven, he'd already given us the Great Commission in Matthew 28. To go into the world. He said that we're to go and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wait till the Holy Spirit should come and he'd give the church this indictment, that we are to go. The church is to care for the lost as he cared for the lost in his absence. Now the question is this, does the church really care for the lost? Does the church ever cry over the lost? It takes the love of God in one's heart for a person to suffer, go through things. Hey, I've done this message and I thought it takes the love of God in ladies' hearts who go out on Saturday or during the week, sometime another, or anyone, and try to witness for Christ, and someone tries to make hash out of them because they think they got an overhand on them. To be mocked and laughed at and tell you to leave and things like that. They don't even realize, hey, I want you to know, Jesus Christ, when he prayed and cried, was praying over those people. Just much so as he was then. God didn't just pray that day and forget us when we went back to heaven, folks. He didn't do that. And I believe with all my heart, he's going to see more and more of that. But I'm going to tell you, those folks one day, if they don't get right with God and trust the Lord, they're going to stand and they'll wish a million times they'd listened to those ladies who went soul winning the other week when they had some doors slammed in their face. I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, when we go, we're not going to build a kingdom here. We go to tell people about the love of God. We know how to take the scriptures and show you how to be saved. Not to get a crown in our head, no, to exalt our Lord. Because there is a specific way. There's a way you get born into the physical life. Everyone knows that. There's a way biblically you get born into the spiritual life. And Jesus Christ is the answer of that time. Has the church really joined Jesus in deep concern and compassion for the lost? Every one of us is of deep concern to Jesus. He died for us. He offers salvation to all the world and wants everyone of human beings to spend eternity with him. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. He said, is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe with all my heart that's his message today. He said, I don't want anyone to have to end up being where I know there's a place, but I offer it to you. I give it to you freely. All you have to do is walk in the door by faith. All you have to do is accept the fact that I'm right and you're wrong. All you have to do is you confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. Not as a mockery, not as to try, but to experience. You see, ladies and gentlemen, religion starts on the outside and works in. Salvation starts on the inside and works out. That's how you know you got it. That's not how you know you got it. And I think about that. What do you think the church should do? What do you think that we should do? And I want to say again, don't be afraid to weep and cry over lost people. If you've got loved ones not saved, you may not be to weep for, you may not be to witness to them sometimes because they think we're trying to push religion off on them. But I want you to know you can weep for them. You may not be to witness to them, but you can weep for them. And I believe God, every tear, God said he's going to bring to remembrance again one day. Don't be afraid to weep over the lost people. We must not give up due to the rejection of God's loving message today. I went back and I was looking. It amazes me because it's always been hard. I read before, years ago, when the gospel first went to Western Africa, it took 14 years before they had one convert. When the gospel went to East Africa, the first time record, it took 10 years before we ever got one convert. When he went to New Zealand, taking the gospel many years ago, it took 10 years before they ever got one convert. It took 9 years before one was baptized in Tahila. It took 7 years before one was baptized in India. And you talk to men like Hudson Taylor and William and Carvey, and men like that who were missionaries, went and stayed on the field many years before they saw anything. But God proved that he still loved people. And now there's many people have been saved in those countries because someone went and was willing to stay and not give up and no doubt wept over situations in life. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been blessed in this country so much today that I think sometimes the blessing has deceived us to think that God really loves us so much that he's given us everything we had. And by the way, if you got it, he gave it to you. You say, well, I worked for it. Well, that's right, but you couldn't work if you didn't have it. Try to work without breathing. You know, try to work without having certain things that God says we have to have. What I'm saying to you, he gives us and he teaches us to seek first the kingdom of God. You know why? It's not because, ladies and gentlemen, he's trying to make us paupers or poor as can be. I'll tell you what, if you're saved on the road to heaven, don't have a dime, you're richer than somebody who's a richer man in this world, has everything, not going to heaven. Aren't you glad the ground is level at the cross? Now, I don't know what God's going to do, but I know this. We have to adjust at times, but I know this. I can never lose sight. And my wife and I were talking just this morning. Night after night after night, I can't see good enough to go night. Where most of the time you go nowadays, light is not that good. So I have to go in the daytime to go visiting or go where there's light and so forth. I know this. I may have to adjust in the way I do things, but one thing is for sure, I'll never quit loving souls. I'll never. Somehow or another, I'll do my best to try to win people to the Lord. Why? Because I can't. I don't want to stand before God one day and say, I didn't have the heart that you had. I don't want to stand before Christ one day and say, I didn't let you have the heart you had. Because today, hear me close, and this is not bragging, this is fact, folks. God has shown his love to this lost world through you and I if you're saved. God is showing his love to this world. They see us first on the front line. And therefore, it ought to be when we go, not arrogantly, not boastfully, but go with a tender heart and let them see that God so loved them that they could be where we're at. You know, a lot of folks think we're just trying to push religion off on people. People who push religion, that's all they get is religion. Ladies and gentlemen, if I understand this, one day the Philippian jailer cried out, "What must I do to be saved?" And I remember when Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." By the way, that starts inside to work out. And you know what? When you find yourself starting inside working out instead of outside working in, you'll find you have something that God gives you to grow in grace, and adjustments will be made. Adjustments will be made, just like in physical life, in the spiritual life, as we grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. Someone listen to my way radio. Someone listen to my Ustream. Not saved. I want you to know God loved you so much that when Jesus was at the Garden of Gethsemane praying, he was praying for you and I, as much so as anyone. He was praying for the human race. When he was praying in Luke, he was praying for the human race. When he cried out in Hebrews, the writer talks about, he was praying for the human race. Aren't you glad to know that God so loved us enough, that Jesus loved us so much, that if you, and look yourself in the mirror today, sometime or another, and I want you to do it and say, if there's nobody else on the earth except me, Jesus would have come and died for me. That's how much he loved you. That's how much he cares. And I don't care where you're at physically, any type of situation at all, I don't care where you're at, the pressure is high, hard, life is hard. I want you to know there's one who cares so much. He's already showed us by paying the price at Calvary. Why not say, Lord, help me see Christ's heart and help me be what I need to be. While I'm here till I get home, would you stand to your feet, Father in heaven? Lord, I've spent hours with you on this. And I thank you so much to know how much Jesus cared. Some fine people use it nowadays, if he heals, and he does do that. If he makes us wealthy, and he does bless us monetarily. If he answers my prayer when I pray, and he does answer our prayer. All those things he does do. But help us not get so much on things. When we think about Adam and Eve, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil has to do with what man knows. The tree of life has to do with what Christ knows. Dear Father, we pray we'd understand how much you loved us. But let us see what Christ, how much he loved us, because he touched base with us in this life. He rubbed elbows with us in the flesh. And Lord, where we would have cried out in pain and wept over the thorns on his brow, if it was us, or nails in our hands or in our feet, and cried out for pain, maybe because of that. He didn't cry out because he had pain. He cried out because there would be many thousands upon thousands who would hear their message and doubt what he did when he went to Calvary. When he came to that city, it looked like the whole city was going to take him and make him king right on the donkey. They began to put things in the path and cry, "Hosanna, King of Kings." And yet when he looked at that city approaching it, he began to weep, sobbing, because he knew in just a matter of hours that Hosanna call would turn into that crucify him. Lord, he knew he had to do that to become Savior, to save souls. He knew that was his job from the day he was born physically in a body of flesh. 33 and a half years later, he accomplished the task. May we never forget to say thank you, Lord. I thank you for 57 years of walking with you. And you're sweeter now than ever. And that's where it ought to be. Life together with someone should grow. We're to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And it's sweeter to know you're there. Know when we're hurting, if you don't remove the pain, it's still going to work out for our good. Holy Spirit, help someone today who's on the borderline or doubting to see how much Jesus loved him when he was here. We can't see him now because he's in heaven, but we could see him then if we were there. The disciples saw him, others saw him, and you gave us a record, absolute record, when he cried, why he cried, when he wept, and why he wept. Let us not forget, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That love is seen in his precious, dear, loving Son on Calvary. And God, if we could see what you did, you extracted from him in that time, just dying on Calvary's what thing. But in that death, eternal death, you extracted from him eternal death for us. So you can impute our sins to him and his righteousness to us. Wow. Wow. Lord, you thought of us before we were ever born. We who have been saved. Let us not get so tied down here we forget our mission before we get home. We pray in Jesus' wonderful, marvelous name and for his sake. Amen.